great to see you. How are you?
Hey, Rajesh. Good to see you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You made it. We made it. Okay, so I'm going to kick us off today. And you know a little bit about this, but in my life, I have been a meditator. I am a meditator. And I've had periods in my life where I have been more and less consistent with meditation. And right now, I'm going through a hot streak. I'm on a streak. I got like days on days that I'm putting together. And more than that, I am doing my meditation for longer. So I've had some days where I just do a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but like I've actually like been able to find and carve out upwards of 10 minutes a day for meditation, which is pretty good for me. And one of the meditations I learned probably when I was 23 years old is a meditation called Vipassana. And I've kind of experimented with all sorts of meditation, but in the last little while, I've gone back to that Vipassana. And as part of my Vipassana practice, which is essentially watching my breath and noticing everything as I'm breathing in and out, I have this reminder that comes at the end of my meditation that says, last 2 or 3 minutes, and it says, begin again, begin again. I don't want to talk about this today because what I find is that in the course of meditating, I will be present. Sometimes I will count my breath. Sometimes I will, you know, say things like in and out. Sometimes I will have like, you know, different experiences where I'm listening to sounds or feeling sensations in my body. Or sometimes my mind just wanders off and I start thinking about something. And all of a sudden I hear the begin again. And I'm like off in like thought about my day or thought about yesterday, or I'm, you know, exploring this idea, or I'm thinking about a conversation that happened, but I've completely lost the plot on the fact that I'm meditating. And I love this idea of begin again. And it got me thinking about all the places and moments in my life where perhaps I should be saying to myself, on the tail end of something, begin again. So that's what I was hoping to talk about today.
Very, very exciting. Partly because in the time we've been doing this, we've started with Greece, ancient Greece. We've done Flat Earth. We've done Ron Popeil show commercials. And we have always found, at least to our satisfaction, a way of landing that back on. And marketers, here's why this matters to you. And so you just keep raising the bar. Like, all right. Breathing, meditation, but I've got this one. Let's see if I, right from the start, have a connection point that just clicked for me as soon as you're describing that. I have been thinking a lot about in the context of work, how hard it is to get out from under the burden of the years of knowledge and of an experience and the constraints that come with that. And in IBM these days, as we think about remaking ourselves as a more digital first, data-driven, AI company, that comes with so much change. And it's so easy to walk into a meeting for myself. I see it in others. And the first words out of your mouth is, oh, we tried that 5 years ago. Oh, that won't work because, oh no, I know better because one of our sales leaders sent out a note a couple of Mondays ago. It's the Monday morning note. And he said, how would you behave today if it were your first day at IBM? In my case, instead of your 25th year. That was a really challenging question. All the things that I wouldn't take as assumptions, all the questions I'd be free to ask, all the possibilities that would be open because I don't know that that's not possible, felt like an invitation to begin again. And so for me, there's a really strong connection to very practical, this was probably 2 weeks ago, work that's on my mind.
Yeah, great. And you know, to build on that, what does it take to do the last minute like the first minute? Like in my case, where I'm meditating, it's probably going back to like first principles and not losing track on what I was setting out and why I was setting out to do what I'm doing. And, you know, sometimes I find like with projects, there's a word for it, I guess it's called spiral. Maybe it's spirals, or we lose sight of like what it, like, is what we're landing, what we set out to do. And I think that I and people I work with, like, we're so intellectually curious and we're so excited about our work that sometimes it's like, we did some great things, but did we go back and do the thing we set out to do? What would happen if we were to ground ourselves in the why we started it?
The call I was on right before this was a live example. So for WatsonX.ai, one of the most important products that IBM has launched in years, our entry into the generative AI platform, and lots of good attention and a product that can win in the marketplace. But our trials aren't converting. Lots of users coming in, trying it, not converting. So we had our most senior marketer, our CMO, our most senior sales leader, our most senior product person, all the SVPs in the company are on talking. Why is this not converting it the way we want to? And part of what I hear in your prompt is everyone presupposes the answer. And by the way, in presupposing the answer, they tend to point the finger at the other function, which is sales says it's marketing, marketing says it's product, product says it's sales, and you go round and round because we built up a set of beliefs, a set of constraints, a set of assumptions. What we agreed to do at the end of the call, inspired partially by you sharing some of this thinking with me earlier in the week, was what if we gave it to some of our new hires? Not as a question of how do you fix this thing that's broken. What if we give you this gift? WatsonX.ai. We want fabulous conversion off it. What would you do? And so taking pretty literally the idea that the people who may be in the best position to solve that problem are some of our newest hires, least constrained people, sometimes younger.
Yeah. No, that's great. I that is really cool. That is really cool. I think one of the other things that I've learned in meditation is that most of the time I go to begin again. I think the other side of begin again is, let's say, 1 out of 10 times, the last 2 minutes is don't even worry about it. Go wherever you want to go. Don't try to go back to first principles. Instead, constraints are off. Think completely creatively. Think completely openly. If we, what would that take? And in the case that you're describing, sometimes it takes just not having any historical knowledge, yeah. Right? And then it's like, okay, is there a way to get ourselves, though, as people who have that historical knowledge, into a better frame for creative thinking?
I like to think there is. Otherwise, 20 some odd years of experience, I'd hate to think of them all as constraints, like all the things I can't do now because I've been doing this for a long time, as opposed to a foundation to work off of. But I do think in both your examples, maybe there are different ways of taking off the constraints, because there is almost a meditative quality to the idea of what would you do today if it were your first day in this job? Or maybe it's a different set of constraints. But at least for someone like me, someone like you who's inquisitive, you'd ask a lot of questions. How come I'm not asking more questions about this problem? Why am I jumping to the conclusion? There's a sort of freedom in that. in your second prompt where you say, go wherever you want to go, it's throw off all the things you think are not possible, but stay grounded in your knowledge. Dream a little bit. What would you wish were true? And that was part of the call we just got off with some of the junior folks who were going to put on this project. A lot of it was, you have the freedom, you are empowered to dream. No one's
I'll tell you what my dream would be.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about it in real time. But I go back to a problem like that, I would solve it for one person. And I know that sounds like totally crazy, but you know my favorite line from Paul Graham, do things that don't scale, right? I always think about, you know, some of the best startups I've seen come out. They always do things in the beginning that just don't scale. And so like for me, what I would do is I would go out and I would find one of those Watson AI people. And I would find out, I would interview them, one single person, and I would interview them and I would say, why did you sign up for this thing? What were you trying to do? Why did you not convert? And then I would go back and I would make a prototype based off of what I learned. And then I would go to the second person and I would show them that prototype and I would get feedback on that prototype. And then I would do it again. I would just do it for one person at a time. And I would make that prototype ideally the same day. So I'd interview him in the morning, have the prototype done by the afternoon, and have it in front of another user. Even if I had to act out the prototype in a skit.
Got some acting chops. I think I could do that.
Can you imagine trying to act AI? That would be so interesting.
Yeah, especially, sorry, ChatGPT, but if you're hallucinating, or if you saw it was speaking in Spanglish earlier this week.
Yeah.
Happily Watson X does not do that, but it's funny. But I'll tell you one of the complicating factors. Tell me if I need to begin again or if I put too many constraints, even by saying complicating factors. But when we did a workshop earlier this week with some of your colleagues at WPP, we were talking about the complexity of B2B. And I do think part of what's happening in this particular case is the application of Watson X is a little bit different than just saying downloading ChatGPT to your phone. It's kind of fun, it's easy to do, and you get going. What IBM is talking about is how generative AI transforms your business. So part of the recognition is there's not one user on the other side of this trial who says, that was a great trial, I'm going to buy this now because I'm going to go transform the HR function of my business. Obviously, that's not one person's decision. And so interestingly, a lot of the dynamics that we're trying to figure out, and I think we have to bring this begin again attitude to, or the whole idea of buying groups and how groups make decisions together. And maybe the trial is actually brilliant. It isn't, but sorry, product development team. The product trial itself needs work. But even if it were perfect, that wouldn't be sufficient because the way we've thought about the problem is so narrow that we're going to have to free ourselves from some of these constraints. That actually, imagine if there are six people in our data, we have found numbers like that, that need to be involved. And one of them or two of them are going to be in the trial. Two of them are more line of business, so they may be more open to a demo or an event experience. Someone else wants more of an expert conversation. That's the practical problem.
I love it. No, and I love the way, I think constraint breeds creativity. So like when I hear you say it, you're my first user.
Yeah.
Right? You're my first user and you just told me what the problem was. Why you didn't convert, right? Because I'm in a buying group and it's complicated and it's not just me. I need six people. Okay. The thing I'm going to make for you by the end of the day is a Watson AI platform trial that only works if you have six buddies to do it with you from your company. Oh my God, are you kidding me? What's that going to do to our MQLs? You are going to put such a high barrier into getting marketing qualified leads for us, Rajesh. Like, how can marketing be okay with this? My numbers are going to be torpedoed. You're making it so hard to do a trial. That's insane, Rajesh. But what if the conversion on the other side of that was like 90%? You'd be like, okay, well, okay, I'm getting less opportunities, but the opportunities I'm getting are just like unbelievable.
Which is consistent with what we actually see. So in that case, I'm going to go down your meditative path and say, I can look at that and say, I like the direction. Maybe I don't. There's something about that solution. As we do these, we demo it in the afternoon with the next person. They say, no, not quite right. So we begin again, but back to the original problem. And we begin again with more knowledge, or we're on the right track. The feedback's good, but it's saying, all right, let's take more constraints off. Let's pursue this even more wild and creative ways. Let's upset our MQL friends even more. But I think those two methods become actually a really nice facilitation process for when, who wants
you
to begin
landed
again.
It, Ari, not me. Begin again, take off the constraint. Two ways into it.
I think we're going to try it next week.
I love it. I totally love it. All right. I think we landed this one, Ari. How are you feeling?
I'm meditating on it. That's the moment of silence. Did we nail that? Do we have to begin again? I think we try it and then come back and talk about the output. But we have a kickoff work session Tuesday morning. I will come back to you. But you will, if you check with anyone on the team, they will tell you, maybe bizarrely, maybe out of context, Ari kept saying, let's begin again. And oddly, breathing heavily throughout the whole exercise. And if you hear that, you know I'm on track.
I love it. Great to see you, my friend.
Good to see
you.
Be
well. Talk to you soon.